He lent the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. Even in death, he remembers hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion. Then he took him to is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then there's no feeling like this if that isn't love. Even in death, he remembered the thief hanging by. He spoke with love and compassion. Then he took him to paradise. Is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven. There's no feeling like this. like this, if that isn't love.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If that isn't love. And thank God we know it's not a myth. Amen. And we're hearing that word, hearing what lies ahead, hearing what's going on right now. Amen. I really enjoyed that message this morning. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Amen. Not looking for a future tense, but I am by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We got so much to be thankful for, my brothers and sisters. So much to thank the Lord for this word that comes from this pulpit. It's such a blessing. Amen. And it's not something to take for granted. Amen. It's certainly something that we just got to continue to keep thirsty, keep pressing forward in. I was praying yesterday morning, just pressing in. You know, many times we got many distractions, raising a family, so many responsibilities. But, oh God, we have to press our way, press past all those things to get into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that he can speak to us. And we certainly need it. Certainly continue to remember all the young people at camp, many of them, and we watched some of it last night, and some of them are going to be different by the grace of the Lord. Amen. Because it's certainly an atmosphere that they create out there, and the young people, they need it. They need it. They need something to grab a hold to know that it's real. And I tell my kids, once God gets a hold of you, it's over. Amen. I was 21 years old when God just got a hold of my life. In the midst of all the promises that the world could offer, something dropped down that was greater than all of that. Amen. And it changed the whole course of everything that I am by his grace. So I know it's real. And just keep the young people in prayer. It's a hard time. I mean, with everything that they got to face, it's going to take the grace of God. But thank God for that grace. Amen. You ready for the word? Amen. Let's sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart as we stand. Prepare our hearts for that word. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Amen. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. See you. Amen and amen and amen. And I want to see him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn back where we've been on Revelation 21. And then we'll go to Matthew 5. Revelation 21, Matthew 5. Remember, Wade and them are the ones that are over in Alabama will be coming back either today, tomorrow, whatever. So pray that the Lord would make everything safe and give them a good, safe trip. And I'll come back home. Wade's preaching there for Brother Matthew and them. So pray that the Lord would bless. Now remember, the fellowship meeting now will be at Brother Pageant's, third Saturday. Keep that in your mind. Remember, the Bible study will be on the first Saturday of May, 6 o'clock. Just come and be with us. We always have a good time in that. All right, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, Brother Bob Black will be ministering unto us the services on Wednesday, okay?
Any other announcements? I generally miss something, but anyhow, just remember them. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy grace and your love. Thank you for the day that we have. Because, Lord, knowing and realizing that you are God and you change not, Lord, that we can depend upon that and put our whole hearts and lives and dwell upon everything, put it all on you. Have your way. Be with each one. Remember the sick among us. Thank you for touching some of these here, Lord, and especially for the ones that are, Lord, on up in age and all, and we know that time has taken its toll upon these old bodies, but that don't have nothing to do with the healing virtues of Calvary. We love you and we thank you and we commit it all to you now. Have your way. Bless the sick among us. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. We believe that, Father, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 21. I hope we can finish up today of what I want to try to bring on this and continue on then. All right. Revelation 21, 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now remember, the future home is coming down over to around there in Israel. So to me now, that's what the emphasis is made, and there's no more sea. It's not doing away with water. It's not doing away with all things. But if you bring the city down over there, there would be no sea, because that's where a lot of your seas are, Sea of Galilee, Sea of this, Sea of that. It's right in the Jerusalem area. So I think it's just emphasizing no more sea, because it'd be, you know, take it up in land of the city. 1,500 square mile city, be a big old place. All right. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more sorrow, no more death, no more, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. All right. Stopping there, then we'll go over to Matthew 5:13. He's coming through the Beatitudes and Sermon on the Mount, you know. And I like the Beatitudes as one thing. The Beatitudes is what we ought to be, what we're supposed to be. Beatitudes, be your attitude, you know, what we ought to be and what we're supposed to be. All right. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Of course, when I always say that I'll drop off on something, I generally have about 5 sermons left over. But anyhow, we'll try our best to finish up today. I hope you enjoyed this morning's message. To me, it was to what I've been thinking on. Because, see, I believe in a positive attitude. That's the main thing. You know, negativism gets you nowhere. You call me on the phone, I'll emphasize this. One time, I remember right after we'd come out of the Baptist church, and I had got real sick with a cold or something, and one of my former friends there with us in the church, he came to see me, and we talked and talked a while, and after a while he said, I come to see you thinking you're sick. He said, you're not sick. I said, well, that's good. So you know yourself, you call me on the phone if I'm laying in the bed or where I'm laying. How are you doing? I'm doing great. Why? Because there's no need of being negative. Oh, I'm just having all of this. Wowsy. Brother Forney says it. Wowsy, wowsy, woo, you know. Man, I'm just down and out and all, you know, everything. That won't get you anywhere. Negativism is just a bad thing. You know. But positive, you know, you go to the doctor, I do, and if he's positive, I'm positive. But if he's negative, I'm gone. That's the best way to say it. If he's negative, I'm gone. Because I don't have no need of nobody else. You know, I mean, you get to be 78, 79 years old, you got enough problems, you don't need no doctor to tell you how wrong or how bad you are. You need somebody to try to encourage you on doing it. And I believe in a positive attitude. I believe in a positive attitude about the Word of God. I believe in reading the Word of God to not to try to figure out what it's saying. You say, well, I like to know what it's saying. Don't worry about it. It's saying it. Just read it. See, you try to figure out what it's saying, you get lost in the whole terminologies, and you'll try to make this say something. You come up with something that is of no good to you, no value, but to read it as to what it says, you know, and all. And that, you know, what amazes me is that you get people that read the Bible and they can't tell you what the Bible's talking about because they're trying to find something like that. But give them a newspaper. Give them a newspaper, and about 2 days later, ask them what's in the newspaper. They'll tell you everything to the detail, you know, all about it. See? And I'm that point. I believe in just saying what the Word says and then just forget it, because it ain't going to help us none to be negative, but it will help us to be positive. All right. Now, as I was saying this morning, the Lord Jesus said, or when he brought forth, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, I tried to emphasize the point because I knew this was tied together with these two messages in that, I told you this morning we'd try to go into that, but we didn't get there, so we just stop off. But we'll pick up this afternoon to try to tie together our thoughts. All right? Now, what was we talking about this morning? Just as a second. Martha was great in her understanding. She had a good confession. But her confession was always not positive in looking at who she was talking to. She was saying, if you had been here. See? Then she said, even though you're here now, but if whatever you ask him, he's going to give you. She had a good confession. That sound good. But just remember, that wasn't what he said. Why would he turn right straight to her and all of that point of she confessing all of her, if you think it's so good, and say, I am the resurrection? See, to me, he was declaring that he was the God of the Word. And that the God of the Word was the resurrection. All right, he was declaring a positive statement of who he was. The one that met Moses from the burning bush. That said, I am that I am. Stands here now to say, I am the resurrection. Who's the resurrection? I am. All right. See, he wasn't looking for a God somewhere else or a thought or something else that Martha was looking for. If you had been here, if you ask God, now he'll give it to you. He was saying, Martha, I'm the God of the Word. See, there stood the resurrection. The resurrection's not a doctrine or an idea or a thought. It's a person. It's a person. The Son of Man is the resurrection sign. All right? the Son of Man is the resurrection. The Lord Jesus had the resurrection sign because he was the resurrection. All right? And I told you all the way down through time, we didn't have a lot of things. But when it come over to the end of it, isn't it odd to here come the Son of Man right back into view? Brother Branham had the resurrection sign. Why? Bring me 24 of your worst cases and I'll guarantee you heal it. That was the resurrection sign. The resurrection sign is never negative. It's positive. It's complete. It's finished. So we need to say what the Word says about us. All right, Brother Brown said one day like this. He said he had confidence in what God said or in who he said that he was. All right? See, then think about the Word. When he said, I am the resurrection. If that God lives in you, no wonder your prophet would say that your resurrection lays inside of you. Right? But like I said, he said it lays inside of you in your spirit, and then he turned around and explained, so what happens, this, that, and we're still to, it's in my spirit. It is not in your five senses. Those need the new birth. It's in the Spirit of God is where the resurrection lies. All right, because that's the Word made alive. All right, get that. Hold on to that thought now then as we go along. All right. A positive attitude of who he was. The prophet said when the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for. All right, now, that sounds pretty positive, right? That sounds like you know what you're doing. Even Satan cannot prevail against that. He don't understand it when you're sick, you're hurting like everything, and somebody asks, well, I'm wonderful. Thank God. Sister Johnny always says, well, I woke up this morning. That's a good point. You know, I woke up this morning. Amen. You know what? A lot of people didn't wake up. Right? So that's a positive attitude and having that about the whole thing. We don't have to make ourselves. We don't have to make ourselves something. That's my whole, has always been my emphasis. It's not to try to make yourself something. It's to be what God wants you to be. Don't worry about it. He'll make you. He'll bring you to the right place. Well, Brother Dale, one of these days we're gonna get this great revelation. One of these days we're gonna do it. Where is it coming from? Go on your internet and find out. You got it on there now, plumb full of what? People thinking they found this great nugget. They found this great thing. We are against the Branhamites. We're against this, that, or the other. They think they found some great thing to destroy the message is what God wants. Now, how can you do that? I told you almost 50 years ago that don't you worry about the Methodists and the Baptists and the Catholics and the Protestants and whatever. It can't be there. It's got to be right among our ranks because it's got to be where that party is. All right. Now, but see, think about it. He declared that he was the resurrection. Now, he didn't declare it was coming or would be or maybe a thought. He declared that he was the resurrection and being that resurrection and the life. All right. Now, he declared that to be. I want to get kind of backward to what I want to do. So, brothers, if you will, go to number 11 because I've promised this. It's in the message part. But I promised it because I make statements and sometimes I don't declare Brother Branham as what he said. so you don't wonder whether it's true or not. But I want you to think about something when we get around to this and the end of it. I'm a kind of a person that likes for things to be in an order, you know, and line up in an order. What you call it, series of events or whatever, so that I can understand and follow that. I want it to be that I can see it, and then I'm not confused. Like I've always said to you, and you think it's crazy, but if you'll listen, you'll hear a lot of these statements that I make where people would say, you know, make statements about something and it be so odd. And Brother Branham would say, you know, if I don't see you no more, just an example, I'll see you in the millennium. Next thing to happen is the millennium. He just said it. If I don't see you no more, see you in the millennium. He just said that. There's a lot takes place before the millennium. But we take our own thoughts or concept about what he's saying, and then we wind up in bad shape. So I found this years ago, and it ties into the message that we're in, and I wrote this down. And I would advise you to write it down or mark it somewhere. I got this one written in the front of my Bible. Because it's off of Questions and Answers, Book 4, 1964, 8:30 evening. He gives an order of events to take place. All right? Then let's stay with that part. They'd asked him a question. The church age is ending, blacked out. The bride's call. We've already entered into the tribulation period. Now, that was their question. He says, no, no, no. I wish I could just have more time on that. So now watch him. Now, he's going to give a series of events. He's going to explain why that it's not to the point that we've entered the tribulation period. Because at that time, there was a lot of time for the tribulation period would have to take place. So now look to his answer. The bride, when she's taken from the church, then the church age will cease. Well, when will the church age cease? When the bride is taken from the church. Well, I think it ended over here. It ended about 2 or 3 years ago because of this, that. I don't care what you think. You ought not care what I think. He just explained something to you. If you'd listen, that's what I'm saying. The bride, when she's taken from the church, then the church age will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos. The bride goes to glory. And the tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin. Now, I ain't going to get into no Daniel 70 weeks with you, but that is a valuable point. That you've got a tribulation for the sleeping virgin, and you got a tribulation for Israel. But that's all right. Someday, if you request it, I'll try to take back up again on maybe some of these things. But I just preach what I preached. And if it's 1980 when I preached it, I don't believe in preaching it no more unless it's needed. If you want to hear it, all right. If you don't want to hear it, forget it. That solves the problem with me. Look, Lady of Seed goes into chaos, the bride goes into glory, and the tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin for 3.5 years while Israel is getting its prophecy. I want you. Then tribulation sets in upon Israel. And then comes the battle of Armageddon. 1, 2, 3, 4. Which destroys all things. Then the bride returns back with the groom for 1,000 years. Millennium, right? The millennial reign. After that comes the white throne judgment. After that comes the new heavens and new earth. You might think he's off about new heavens. Isaiah says heavens. John says heaven and earth. Read Isaiah 65, I think it is. It says heavens. Comes the new heavens and new earth and the new city coming down from God out of heaven. Eternity and time blends together. Now, that's a series of events. This happens, that happens, this happened, that happened. That's the way I like to look at things. Then somebody come along and say, like I could say the statement, well, don't see you no more, I'll see you in a millennium. That wasn't what he said. Well, I got the quote. You got the quote, but you coded it. Because there's the series of events. Why don't you search out and let him answer it? What comes after what? The only one he left out of there is Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog is the final battle right before the new heavens and new earth comes into being. All right. Now, but think about that, and you just take that home with you, because I want to conclude something this afternoon if we can. Because we've been talking for quite a while about the things to take place and how that it'll be one day that in the future home. All right. In the millennium, you have days, nights, and different things. All right. In the future home, outside the city, you can have days and nights and things. But in the city, you have no night. All right. You have no temple. You have a temple even built in the millennium. But in the future home, you have no temple. Because the Bible says that the Lamb is the temple. You have no need of light because He is the light. Right? Now, you say, well, how will that be if there's no night, no light or nothing? Well, let's just think about these things just for a minute with a thought in mind. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I've dropped back into the message. We'll run through today in a quick hurry. So don't worry about getting bored. We'll try to keep up in a hurry. All right? In Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. All right? We read that it was without form and void, and darkness was upon. All right? Then we've read there in Genesis 1 where God created light. Okay? You go down a few more, that was day one. You go down a few more verses and you'll find out that the sun and the moon was created on the fourth day. All right? So what was created when it said light? Light was created the first day. Let there be light. Was it dark? Did God exist in a darkness? Well, yeah, I guess he did. It was dark. No. God never existed in darkness. There's no such thing. As I tried to illustrate, strike one match in a closed up building, it sets out the darkness of that building. That's all it takes is one match and stretch it out. All right? See, so what was the first creation that he'd be dealing with is light. Okay? God created light. Was it so dark till it would just become darkness and then he creates light? Or is that just a terminology or a thought of an expression? Because where God is, there is no darkness. Did he exist in a world or a thought or a concept of darkness? No, that's what we're reading. But in reading that, we're doing what I said. We're reading trying to find some secret thing instead of just reading it and letting it say what it's saying. To me, that's simply saying that God is to come into being, to be comprehended by mankind. He's going to bring himself into being to where he could be comprehended. All right? So it's not giving a darkness as a darkness. It's just simply trying to express a point, the opposition of light. So what was that first light? But it was not the moon and the stars. It was not the sun and the moon. That was created on the fourth day. Read your Bible. Huh? See, what is that light then? Your prophet says it like this. The first thing, go ahead with number one. We'll just read a few of these and then we'll drop off. From questions and answers on Genesis. He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creation of God. The first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word, in the beginning was the Word. And now it comes the man. Now, as I said, we think, we read, that it says it was without form and void. All right? Now then, if you're going to go that carnal with reading your words of natural things, then read that statement. The first creation was God himself. Did God create himself? Well, that's what it says. But what did he create himself from? I'm trying to illustrate the point of looking at something and thinking we know what we're talking about. And would read, and it says it was without form and void, and darkness was upon. So we look at dog. That's just a simple point of illustration to connect your human mind to a point to show you. Because at that time, God creates himself. Brother Brown said, how could God create himself when he's the creator? Remember that out of the church age book? When he's the very creator himself. It's expressing something. It's trying to explain something that is unexplainable. Right? It's trying to bring the human mind into a situation that we can start comprehending. So why not say it like this? The first creation was God as he began to condescend. Not a creation of a creation that comes into a creation when he begins to condescend so we can understand. Now you're getting the light. Not the moon and the sun over on day four. Leave that out of it. So you're coming to light. In other words, what are you coming to? Understanding. God is opening up understanding of mankind, and he writes in his Bible, showing to the mankind how he's coming into being to reveal himself to the man. So remember now, according to my understanding, Moses wrote this, right, which that would have been a few hundred years after the, maybe a couple of thousand, after the original creation. And what it was. And Moses is told to write what? This. To try to help the mankind that had already lived 2,000 or 3,000 years. Because isn't Moses, don't he fall after the flood? Don't he fall after the first 2,000? Right. And after all that said and done, when he comes over and he says, Moses, now, you just pick up a pen and start writing. How could a Moses wrote, and God was? And God is going to now reveal himself. He couldn't put that in terminologies of words. I'm trying to get your thought to line up on something. Then your prophet comes along and he picks up what all of these have said about Moses and Israel. And what does he say? He said, and the first thing God created was himself. That's not him taking mud and building up in a pile and pushing it and jumps into it and it becomes. It took a long time to transmit, about 4,000 years to transmit down to flesh. Right? So let's don't get so big of a whang bang out of it and run off. You understand what I mean? It took God all of those years to be able to bring into being himself that we could understand him. So the first thing he created was himself. Now look. Go to number two. They're talking about what connection does Genesis 1 and 2. He says, you know, the connect, it's explaining it. Watch him. And if you notice, come on up. If you notice in creation, the first thing that was created, of course, was light. You come on down through the creation, last thing created was a man. Now he says it's light. This is out of the same book. So now you got God's first creation is himself. Now you got his first creation is light. That must be the same person. Or thought or concept, or what you want to put it. It's simply explaining to me is how that God condescends to humanity for humanity to understand him. So he condescends. He comes down to the Logos, the theophany, the great big words that we use so think to about it. Try to let everybody think how smart we are. But yet we come down to the point. Like I asked the question one time, we're talking about Son of God. I said, when does Son of God appear in Bible terminologies? We said, well, 2,000 years ago. I said, that's how much you think. God, when it was called a Son of God, was the Logos back in Genesis that your scholars knew because it's known as word or Logos or speech, the Son of God. Trying to get a point to you, just think. A positive point of thinking. Light will put darkness out. True? So as God unveils himself, light becomes into view, our thought, or to our understanding. But we don't want to leave him as darkness, because he never was as darkness. But put it to the point that he's now trying to let himself be known as light. Then he can create the moon and the stars and the sun later and let them control and all. And we call that light. But that was not what God created in the beginning. So he never created. He stepped over into another form. He amorphied himself, changed his form from being unseen to where he could be seen. And the first thing that comes forth is light. Light is what brings it out into the open to be able to be seen. See? But it's dealing with the mind more than it's dealing with an actuality of, well, it was dark, and then it become light, and then it become... See? When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he was showing us that he was that very God that created all things back in Genesis. And that he was the light. All right. You remember we brought these out. As God tries to unveil himself, he begins to bring himself down. And when Moses, which had written this part, you know, in his writings, after he got through writing the things he was writing, he built, put it in their skin, the things that God told him to put into being, right? And he made the Ark of the Covenant. He made all of the things. He made everything to lay it out. He laid out the outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. And there he was in that very Shekinah glory. That behind that veil of the inner veil, you know, you didn't need no light. God is still trying to reveal himself. Trying to make himself known. You didn't need no light. You had to have light in the outer court because it was day and night. Alright? Inner court, going into the second part, you had the candlesticks. They had to be kept lit. But behind the veil, there's kind of glory. How many of them do you want? Where Brother Brown says, never did go out year after year. You had to relight them candles. You had to do all them things. But that high priest, when he would walk behind there, he didn't stumble all over everything. It was light. Brother Brown said a soft glowing light. One time he called it smooth. I got a bunch of them written down. Of what it was behind the veil. But just remember, it was light. What was happening? The God that created all things and unveiled himself as light in the beginning, he's going to stay light. But he's going to try to express himself as light. All right? It's a smooth light. And he lived. It was there all the time, day and night. He walked in the light of the living God. What about it? What kind of a supernatural light was behind the veil? Brother Branham said on one of them, I've got in here somewhere, or maybe last week's notes, because I've had these a while. He said, that light was a rainbow. Well, now, what is today, in our day, what do you recognize or relate as a rainbow? Come on. Ain't nobody going to say it. It ain't too good of a sign today. Right? Rainbow ain't too good of a sign. But you know, to Noah, it was a great sign. It was a covenant. It was light. Light was the rainbow color. But yet we think, well, I just don't like that rainbow color. Well, if I'd have been Noah, I'd probably love it. I mean, I'd sure love it, wouldn't you? I love it too, because I remember when I was a kid, I was told, you know, like everybody's always told their kids these stories, and that's why I get on to you for don't scare your kids with your thoughts about God when you can't put them together anyway. But you scare your kids with about these things. They had told me that when the end of the world had come, that there would be a great big cloud come up in the sky, and it'd just be so dark until it would just be, and it would, the world would just end. Well, every time it come up a cloud, I went out in the yard. Right? Because that's what I was told. But you know what? I saw a lot of clouds come and go, and I never did wind up the end of the world. But see, we take and we just take words and thoughts and ideas and just throw them out. And we don't consider how in relation that it can have to mankind, as I said, to Noah with the rainbow covenant. Beautiful thing in the sky that day. You go out anytime you want to. Take your water hose, you wash in your car, and you just take it and you just spray it across like that. And there's the prettiest rainbow you've ever seen. Brother Tom Fawbush and us, we used to ride around a lot on Sunday afternoon. And one Sunday we left and went down by the house, and we got about almost a mazeful, and there was this rainbow. I mean, it was just so much till it just went from one side of the earth to the other. You know, you don't see a lot of that. You generally see parts or what. And I ain't talking about no little old bitty, you know, you could barely make out. I'm talking about beautiful rainbow colors. And we, life remarked about it, went over to Commerce, stopped and got us about to eat. We came out. And, we were looking, and I was still back, but it was only just parts of that rainbow. You know, but it was still beautiful. It was not just like you'd see just a little bitty one. It had the real dark colors, you know, in it. So we get in the car, and we start driving up the expressway. Well, all at once, I said, I've always heard that at the end of the rainbow was a pot of gold. You ever heard that? Well, you know what? Come a while, she'll verify this. Right off the side of the road was the prettiest rays of light coming down. And it did. It looked like that they wasn't a green tree. They wasn't nothing. It was just gold all around that place. Well, that was light. We began to find out there wasn't no gold there because we had the gold riding in the car with us. He was inside of us. All right. What about the light? The Shekinah glory would put forth a light. You know. That would lighten up the whole room that it was in. Well, do you think that if you put it outside somewhere that it would run out of light? Because according to what Brother Brown says in the future home, that light can be seen all over the whole world. Have you read the book? All over the whole world. You say, yeah, but that's down on the dark side. All right, you explain what I'm talking about, and we won't worry about where it's down there. I used to think that if you dug too deep in a well, you'd fall out the other side. What'd you think? They used to tell us that people on the other side of the earth was hanging upside down. That's why their eyes were slanted. So you're silly. I agree with you, but that's what it was told us. Yeah. Didn't necessarily make it true. But listen, I'm trying to express about a light. A light that the Shekinah glory was just a partial telling of it. The rainbow was just a partial revealing of it. But the Lord Jesus, as I said this morning, bringing out, when he said, I am the resurrection, you know, he said, I'm the light. Right? He said, I'm the light. Well, was he? But did he have this great glow around him that lit up the buildings and the world and everything as he walked? That evidently wasn't what he was talking about. But he said he was the light of the world. And he said, let's see, as long, John, let me get my glasses where I can read the scripture. John 9:5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Is that physical light? John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Read it. The light of life. Matthew 5:14, he said, you are the light of the world. Right? Now he goes here through the scriptures to bring us to the point that he's first telling he's the light. As long as he's here, there'll be light. But then he declares, you're the light. Well, he's evidently talking about the same light, right? I mean, wouldn't you think so? We used to sing them little songs, you know, them little children. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Kids still do it here, you know, sometimes. Not going to blow it out. Not going to put it under a bushel. What is the light that could be talking about, that could be what he was, that could wind up to be the same in you and me? That we could be the light. It would have to be the light of life. Did you read that? Light of life. He's the light of life. But if he lives in us, then we're the light. That's why I love the thoughts the prophet would bring. He said he's not complete without us. He even says the Godhead, right? Is that quote? Godhead's not complete without you. You realize if you took out one candle, you would have a problem. Huh? Well, it's still light. No, it ain't. Talk to me. He ain't complete without us. You know why? Because here's where he's living. He, what would be the word used, moved or transported or descended or what? From being the fact of existing alone. And then you see him as he comes forth and he's declaring himself as to all of the things throughout the four gospels. But the main point he's bringing is, you're the light. That took place on the day of Pentecost, right? I'm not talking about natural light. Now, I got them in here if you want to do them. You know that you, the human being, go ahead to number 8. Because we're going to separate a little bit from cosmic light to eternal light. Under cosmic light. Now watch. From the uncertain sound. When you were made, and they just found out recently that your body is full of light. X-ray proves that. The X-ray does not have any light of its own. Now they'd probably argue with you down at the doctor's office. But we ain't worried about the doctor, we know who the doctor is. It's your light that it uses. They have taken pictures and proven of people holding their hand out to touch another person and rays of light moving. Right? Is that blind to anybody, or do you understand that's what they've done it? Now watch. It's your light that it uses. You're born with four rays. Most of us is done based. It's your light that it uses. You're born with four rays. After a little while, say 20, 25, one ray goes out. 35, another. Or 40, another one goes out. And finally, when you get past about 65, you're living on your last ray. Now, in case you miss it, you're going on down below it, he said, now that's cosmic light. He's explaining natural light. It is not the Holy Ghost lighting up there. That's in every human being. Cosmic light. But it gives the point or thought to look at. You mean to say that within us, as human beings created the way we were and brought into being, that God put a cosmic light there? Right? Now, if he put a cosmic light, how much more light would it be with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because when it says, ye are the light of the world, it ain't talking about cosmic light. Now, come on. When the Bible says, ye are the light of the world, it ain't talking about cosmic light. It ain't talking about X-rays and pictures taken. It's telling you what is exactly what I just said. The only way you and I can be light is for that original light to come in us and live in the new birth. That's why the new birth is the most important thing there is. Amen. The Bible speaks of how that your body, see, I got that in here. Yeah. Your body is full of light. That's cosmic. Cosmic light, which is, means some way, some ray, some point, some thought that God done and he put it into the human being. Now, it ain't no glowing light that's just like a turn a light bulb on and, you know, it's life. Within us is life. Now, get the point. As I said, then if that is light, and even cosmic light will show up, what about the Holy Ghost that's living within you? See, there ain't going to be cosmic light in the future home. You know what I mean? Ain't no need of cosmic light in the future home. In the future home, there is no light because He's the light. Well, if He's living in every one of us, then you're the light. That's what He was speaking of when He said, you're the light of the world. Now, naturally speaking, what is He saying? First off the point, what's He saying if you're the light? There's no way that anyone can see God except through somebody else. Now, I saw God. No. I tell you what, I never did hear a preacher and I got born again. You heard somebody. God, it's impossible to be born again without hearing the word. Right? So our light right now is to let our light shine before men that they may see God. Is that scriptural? Let our life. What did we read that a while ago? Life. Light of life. You see why your life is so important? You see even what I was talking about a moment ago? When I was talking about simple, plain things, that if we're negative, we got a dim light. Right? We're all down and out. We've got a dim light. But if you're happy and joyous, your light glows. So Jesus was saying to us, all right, I'm going to give up my life. We've come down. I've explained it to you. I've brought it to Moses. I told Moses all about the creation, brought it through. I brought it through the Shekinah glory. I brought it through all of the lights and brought it through the rainbow. I brought it through the fact, you remember what it was? It was in the daytime, it was a rainbow or a pillar of fire. And at night, then it was a light or a cloud, excuse me. Daytime was a cloud. At night, it was a pillar of fire. The light. That's how they knew where to go, where they wanted to go. Was by that. What are you saying? I'm saying, church, when are we going to realize that the life we're living before the people of this world is the only light they'll ever see of God? They say, can't see God. They see cosmic light. They see rays and things like that, and they try to make it something great. The greatest light there is to let your life shine before men, to be a Christian. Every day you live. Remember, that's the only God a lot of people see is you. Right? I remember working with these two women in the cotton mill there at New Holland Mill. I worked with them a couple of years, and this lady, she went come unglued one day and told everybody off. I wasn't a preacher back then, but I tried to live a decent life. We was over there working a little bit. She comes, she said, Sam, I'm sorry. I apologize. I shouldn't have got mad and said all them things. I said, oh, that's all right. I said, that's okay. I said, we all have our good days and bad days. She said, Sam, said, I've been with you 2 years. She said, I've never seen you down. Well, maybe that's a good point. But you've heard your prophet expressing it, right? That the people see God in you and want to be like that. Right? We want our children to live like us and do like us. God wants His children to do that. Light. So when we get to that future home, the Bible says you have no need of the light. It says because the Lamb is the light. You have no need of a temple, he said, because God is the temple. Is it doing away with things, or is he coming back to where he originally was? Now I'm stopping on that point where you'll think. See, that's why I don't believe that there was a darkness like we read. I don't believe that. I believe that's the terminology or statements of humanity to describe things. I believe when God existed alone, he was light. Because the Bible says that, and in him is no darkness. He didn't come from darkness to light. There never was a darkness in his presence. The future home to me is going back to the closest we'll ever get. I said that the way I meant it. I mean it the way I say it. The closest we'll ever get back to originality is the future home. I believe that. Why would you want to go any further? I get so tickled at listening to people preach on predestination. I get tickled at it. I don't mean laugh at, I just laugh at the humanities of what we are. And they predestinate, so predestination, be careful. If he was self-existing, you could predestinate yourself clean out of existence. You better stop a little before that it gets to self-existing. I don't want to go any further than the point that he said, let there be light. Don't you follow my thought? I don't want to go any further back. The predestination carries you back. And if you go back to pre-existence, you've predestinated yourself out of existence. Because it's pre-existent. He'll never be pre-existent. He'll never exist alone. I've got the quotes in the prophet. You need that. He'll never be self-existing. Why? Because he's got his family. In that future home will be the closest position of anything about any and all of your predestinations. Because you'll live with him for eternity. You say, well, I just can't understand that. Well, okay, I'll give you another one if you can't understand it. Tell me how he's my Savior, he's my Father, he's my brother, he's my husband, he's my advocate. You explain to me how all that's true out of one person. Am I right? He's my brother, he's my father, he's my... Brother Rami said he's even my mother. What about it, church? Just trying to make a little point to end a thought. I'm trying to end it right there. I'm ending it with that last thought. Let's don't predestinate ourselves out of existence. I don't want him to go back to the place that he exists alone. I want him to go back to the place that we can exist in eternity with him. So what did we wind up being? Sunday we talked about it. The earth will be made eternal. You say, well, I don't believe that. Okay, that's your problem. It ain't mine. I mean, it ain't mine. I'm just stating it. The world is to be made eternal. Because it's to be made a new creation. He makes all things new. All right? So then if the world's eternal, and we got an eternal city, right? The future home, built according to your desires and thoughts. That's your home. You're going to live in it for eternity. If we can reach that place, I don't want to go any further. Right? I don't want to go no further than a total eternity existing with my Father. Existing with my brothers and my sister as a part of the family of God. There won't be no need of a light. Because He's the light. If one match can put out all the darkness, and the Shekinah glory can be glowing so bright, until it never goes out. What about a day when we get there? You're the light. If He's not complete without us, then if He goes back to that self-existing, I go out of existence. But He'll never go to self-existing. You go back to His original thought of what He wanted. What did He want? A family. Sons and daughters to be like Him. Come on, church. I don't agree with it, of it being, but it is so amazing how that your movie industries and things can try to portray the things. And that was so great with Brother Branham until when he seen that Ten Commandments and seen how they done that writing. He knew that it happened some way, and that related to him till he enjoyed that thought of seeing that. And if he had ever seen it, it was evidently they done it with powder or something and put it there and let it just burn out. And it just wrote them letters in stone. He said, that's just exactly like it was. I don't want to go to where He goes to self-existing. I want Him to be my Father. I want to be the son He wanted. I want to be the person He wants me to be. Because that way then, if I'm part of Him, then He's not complete without me. But now, come on, let's get to life's part. If I'm part of God and you're part of God, then we're part of each other. Whether you like it or not. Brother Dale, I don't want to be a part of you. Well, that might be true in the cosmic light area of time. I might not want to be part of you. But when we get all of that out of the way, and we all get eternal life, there ain't going to be no worrying. He said, I never thought when you started that series on life, that you'd wind up there. Where? We wound up back as far as I want to go. And I don't want to go no further than the point of being able to stand with my Father and let Him be made manifest through me. And we can stand there as light. Not glowing balls that have to hang around. You see these movies, what do they make them? Now, come on, kids, somebody help me. What do they call it? Mortal Kombat? If I'm wrong on these things, I don't watch it, so I've just seen the points of whatever magazine's got about. And they claim those people are so great until they're just invisible. They're just gone beyond anything could be comprehended of them, and they're totally invisible. That's why they call it Mortal Kombat. They can't be killed. And church, they're pretty close. I remember Brother Harris telling about that they showed in a movie one time, because you go to so many degrees, you get first degree, second, it goes up to eight, I think it is, and they have no more fighting. And they showed this big old 2,000-pound bull. This was supposed to have been happening. Charged the guy. And he just stepped aside, whacked his horn off. The bull turned to charge and coming back full speed. He stood dead still. When that bull got to one spot, pop, right between the eyes, the bull fell on the ground. You want to run in front of a 2,000-pound car? It's going to knock you a long ways. My point, there are things that these human beings, you tell me David didn't know these things. Now, I've always argued this. You can argue all you want, I ain't going to argue about it. I'm just telling my point. See, David knew all about karate and all of these things. He wasn't no little old thing. We hear Brother Branham, and I agree. He said that demon up there could have tore him to pieces. But just remember, you're also talking about a guy that had won 15 professional fights. But he knew them professional fights wasn't no good, because there was a demon out there that was more capable than all of them natural combats. But you tell me David and them didn't know about karates and things. What are you saying? I say I'm looking at the light of the world. But I'm looking at the body of Jesus Christ. There'll always be light. That's why we can agree and talk to each other about Christ and life and doing, is because we're His children. When we get to that future home, all will be eternal. We'll be eternal there with Him. What a day. So as we were talking about this morning, He said, I am the resurrection. I didn't emphasize that about me and you, right? But this evening, I'm emphasizing one thing. He said, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, He said, I'll be the light of the world. But when He left this world, He came back into the bride of Jesus Christ. And the light has never went out. Ye are the light of the world. And the light can't be put under a bush or what? It's set on a hill. He knew where that future home was going to be. Set on a hill. Mountains will cleave and up it'll go. The mountain will see you'll be gone, because there won't be no more sea in that area. What about it? Come on, musician. Ye are the light of the world. Why would I want any other thoughts than the fact of who that I am? And it's what He has made us. Why don't we accept what He says? That's my point. Read it. It says you're the light of the world. Well, I don't understand how I could be the light of the world. No, you're still hooked up. Then you'll come up with something, try to prove it with cosmic light, how the X-rays will do this and it'll do that. But remember, that's cosmic light. That ain't got nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about He was going to come and live in us. And as He was the light of the world, we're going to be the light of the world because of the life that's living within us. It's been made away. Let's stand. What have we got, brother? Anybody have a need?
He's tomorrow. He calls He lives. All fear is gone.
by the new birth within my soul. He has made me part of that life. Why wouldn't I want others to live like that life? The life which is the life of the scripture we read. The life of God living in us is the greatest life could ever be. All the darkness of Satan will be gone. Something supernatural. Something that Satan can't put out. I know.
Yes, I know.
We pray that what we said is a clear enough point that we can watch you come from all the way from self-existing. Come down into time and exist with mankind and give your life to live in each one of us that can take us back to that. Lord, we want to stop. When we get back to that place, we don't want to go out of existence. There may be carnal thoughts to our human mind, Lord, but it means so much to the thoughts that we want to go back where we come from and not go out of existence. Bless the people. Take care of everybody on the way home. Be with those that are traveling, Lord, and just give traveling mercy. Touch each one. Remember the sick among us. You promised it. Let it be you, Father. Let it be you. We love you in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.